ओके, यही संस्पर्श जा भोगा दुख यो न एवते आद्यंतवंत कौन्तेय नातेषु रमते बुधः ये दोज ही सर्टनली संस्पर्शजा बाय कॉन्टैक्ट विद द मेटेरियल सेंसेस भोगा एंजॉयमेंट्स दुख डिस्ट्रेस यो नयः सोर्सेस ऑफ एव सर्टनली ते दे आर आदि बिगिनिंग अंत एंड वंतः सब्जेक्ट टू कौन्तेय ओ सन ऑफ कुंती न नेवर तेषु इन दोज रमते टेक्स डिलाइट बुद्धः द इंटेलिजेंट पर्सन Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhayachana Arvind Bhakti Vedanta Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, which are due to contact with material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. Purport. Material sense pleasures are due to the contact of the material senses, which are all temporary because the body itself is temporary. A liberated soul is not interested in anything which is temporary. Knowing well all the joys of transcendental pleasures, how can a liberated soul agree to enjoy false pleasure? In the Padma Purana it is said, Ramante yogino anante satyanande chidatmani iti rama padenasho Param Brahma Vidhiyate. The mystics derive unlimited transcendental pleasure from the Absolute Truth, and therefore the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, is also known as Rama. In Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.1 it is stated, Nayam Deho Deha Bhajam Niloke, Nayam Deho Deha Bhajam Niloke, Kashtan Kamanar Hate Ved Bhujam Ye, तपो दिव्यं पुत्रकायेन सत्वं शुद्धयत्यस्माद् ब्रह्म सौख्यं त्वानन्तम्. My dear sons, there is no reason to labor very hard for sense pleasure while in the human form of life. Such pleasures are available to the stool eaters, hogs. Rather, you should undergo penances in this life by which your existence will be purified, and as a result you will be able to enjoy unlimited transcendental bliss. Therefore, those who are true yogis or learned transcendentalists are not attracted by sense pleasures, which are the cause of continuous material existence. The more one is addicted to material pleasures, the more he is entrapped by material miseries. ओम ज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकया चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं. वंदेहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगन रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगन ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमस्ते. तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये. वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुवैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नित्य नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। हरे कृष्णा। सो इन टुडेज वर्स लॉर्ड कृष्णा इज सेइंग दैट एन इंटेलिजेंट पर्सन डज नॉट टेक पार्ट इन सेंस रेटिफिकेशन, राइट? व्हाई? बिकॉज द सेंस रेटिफिकेशन इज एक्चुअली सोर्स ऑफ मिजरी। देर इज सम प्लेजर इन द बिगिनिंग एंड बट द प्लेजर एंड्स वेरी क्विकली, right? So the wise man does not delight in them. So what is everybody looking in this world for? What do everybody want in this world, right? Can any one of you say why people work so hard, why people do their jobs, business, why students study? Ultimately, what is everybody looking for? Pleasure. Very good. So pleasure, right? Everybody is looking for pleasure, happiness, right? Yes or no? You all agree with this? Everybody is looking for pleasure. Now, how do we get that pleasure? How do we get the happiness? Normally, what people think? How to become happy? Eat nicely, eat nice foodstuffs, right? So they gratify their tongue, right? Eat something good, right? Or they want to see something good, want to see some beautiful scenery, they go to hill stations, or they want to see beautiful form of a girl, they want to see movies, pornography. So think, by doing that, they'll get pleasure through the eyes, they're looking for happiness. They want to hear good music, right? Through the ears. They want to smell nice aroma, nice scent, you know, there's so many perfumes. Perfume industry is a multi-billion industry, right? Why? People like to put on nice perfume so that your nose can smell the perfume. And ultimately then, the skin, you want to be very comfortable, you want to sleep on a soft cushion, and then you want to have sex enjoyment with opposite sex. Why? Because it feels good, right? Touch. So that means we, the conditioned living entity, the soul is on a different level, right? Soul is spiritual. But in this material world, the soul is having this material body. So now the soul is trying to be happy through the senses, right? Because this body has senses. We have ears, we have nose. So through the senses, the soul is trying to become happy. The soul is thinking, if I gratify the senses, I'll become happy. You understand this point? Very simple, right? So therefore, people in this world, they are always looking for good food, nice food stuff. So many restaurants, you go to any city, there are food courts, there are varieties of shops, Domino's, this, that, different varieties of non-vegetarian food. Huh? Why? Because people, they want to get pleasure. They think, I can become happy by eating nice food stuffs. They don't care whether I'm killing an animal, whether this food is good for my health. No. They just want to eat anything and everything, whatever they get, just for the pleasure of tongue. But what happens? Do they actually get happiness by eating those foodstuffs? Yes? Sometimes, little bit, but after that, the taste is gone. It's very temporary, right? It's for very, very... So for very, very short time. You understand this point? See, what have we discussed so far? that living entity is looking for happiness. So when the living entity, the soul, is inside the body, it's also looking for happiness. And it is trying to look for happiness through the senses. So I want to eat something good. But what is happening, that when you eat something good, that pleasure is lasting for a very small time. Can you go on eating? Suppose I like a very good gulab jamun. How many gulab jamuns can I eat? 1, 2, 3. After that, can I eat more? No. So first of all, that pleasure is very limited and for a very short time. After that, I cannot enjoy anymore. And not only that, it leads to misery. How? All of our diseases is because of wrong food habits. People eat anything and everything that they like. And when they eat all these different things, what happens? They ultimately become diseased. So they are doing something, they think they'll get happiness, but what is happening in the long run? They're getting distress. This is a simple example of food. Let's take another example. We want to, like, sex enjoyment is the, like Prabhupada is saying in the previous verse also. So that's the biggest enjoyment people think in this world. But when you indulge in that, how much does that last for? Maybe few seconds, few minutes. But after that, there's only suffering. So many, and you know, if you have illicit relationship, then there is divorce, then there is so many repercussions, there is so many fights, you know, all these movies, they have all these fights among, like some man is after some girl, then the girl is having affair with some other boy, and then these two people, they fight. So it's so much misery. In the beginning it seems very good, oh I am having a good affair, but ultimately there is so much misery, there is so much suffering. Not only that, you know, there are so many diseases also. AIDS and so many diseases due to illicit sexual relations. The health is very bad for health. And not only that, as I said, it could result in so many fights. Right? So you try to be happy, but ultimately what are you gaining? Suffering again. So you take example of any kind of material sense satisfaction, you will see in the end it leads to distress. So therefore Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter that in this world there are three kinds of happiness. Right? Happiness in the mode of goodness, happiness in the mode of passion, happiness in the mode of ignorance. Right? You can see, 18, chapter 18, you have taken Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 18, text number 37. So in text number 37 he is saying yatyat agre visham eva pariname amritopanam amritopamam tat sukham satvikam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. Chapter 18, text number 37. Last chapter of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 37. That which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. Purport: in the pursuit of self-realization, one has to follow many rules and regulations to control the mind and senses and to concentrate the mind on the self. All these procedures are very difficult, bitter like poison, but if one is successful in following the regulations and comes to the transcendental position, he begins to drink real nectar and he enjoys life. Text number 38. Vishendriya samyoga tyatyat agre amrutopamam pariname vishameva tatsukham rajasam smitam. That happiness which is derived from contact of the senses with their objects and which appears like nectar at first but poison at the end is said to be in the nature of passion. Purport: a young man and a young woman meet, and the senses drive the young man to see her, to touch her, and to have sexual intercourse. In the beginning, this may be very pleasing to the senses, but at the end, or after some time, it becomes just like poison. They are separated, or there is divorce, there is lamentation, there is sorrow, etc. Such happiness is always in the mode of passion. Happiness derived from a combination of senses and the sense objects is always a cause of distress and should be avoided by all means. Text number 39. Yadagre chanubandhe cha sukam mohanamatmanaha nidralasya pramadotam satam samudaritam. And that happiness which is blind to self-realization, which is disillusion, which is delusion from very beginning to end, and which arises from sleep, laziness and illusion, is said to be the nature of ignorance. Purport: one who takes pleasure in laziness and in sleep is certainly in the mode of darkness, ignorance. And one who has no idea how to act and how not to act is also in the mode of ignorance. For the person in the mode of ignorance, everything is illusion. There is no happiness either in the beginning or at the end. For the person in the mode of passion, there might be some kind of ephemeral happiness in the beginning and but at the end distress. But for the person in the mode of ignorance, there is only distress both in the beginning and in the end. Okay. So Krishna is saying how many kinds of happiness? How many kinds? Three. Mode of goodness, mode of passion and mode of ignorance. Now happiness in mode of ignorance is what? Suffering in the beginning, suffering in the end. Misery in the beginning and misery in the end. Right? Like intoxication. When you take intoxication also you are not happy. And in the end also it's not happy. You become more sick. Some people think by sleeping they are very happy. But sleep is mode of ignorance. What kind of happiness you will get by sleeping? But there are people, they sleep 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours. I have seen people who sleep 16 hours. Some boys in college. One boy who was sleeping and the door was not, you know. So boys got afraid. What happened? That boy is alive or not? Then finally they broke the door and went inside and found the boy is sleeping. And he said, "Why do you disturb me?" That boy slept for continuously 24 hours. And he thought he is getting happiness. This mode of ignorance. Drugs, intoxication, sleeping more, lazy, alasana. People think, I am not doing anything. Just, they want to just waste their time. Oh, I am very happy. That is mode of ignorance. Tamoguna. So mode of ignorance people, they never taste any kind of happiness. It's only misery in the beginning and in the end and in the middle. But mode of passion is what? When you try to enjoy the senses in mode of passion, like as I said, you want to eat something good, you want to have relation with opposite sex. So in the beginning there must be some pleasure, some happiness is there. But in the end it is like poison. Understand this difference? Mode of ignorance means beginning is also poison, beginning is also misery and end is also misery. Mode of passion, beginning is like some nectar, some happiness in the beginning, but end is suffering. But mode of goodness, happiness is such, it is nectar in the, little poisonous in the beginning, like spiritual life. So many rules, regulations, you have to do this, you don't have to do this, you follow so many rules, regulations. But in the end you will get happiness. When you lead a proper lifestyle, regulated lifestyle, you'll have a long, healthy life. You are very happy inside, you know. That is happiness in the mode of goodness. But what is transcendental happiness? Can you guess? See, we talked of three kinds of happiness. Ignorance means misery in the beginning, misery in the end. Mode of passion is happiness in the beginning, but misery in the end. Mode of goodness is misery in the beginning, but happiness at the end. But what is transcendental happiness? Fourth kind of happiness. Happiness in the beginning and happiness in the end. All the time you are happy. All the time you are blissful. And that happens only when you are in transcendental position. You are a pure devotee. Then you are always happy. That is what in today's verse Prabhupada has quoted. Ramante yogino anante satyanande chidatmani iti rama padenashu param brahma vidiyate. That means the mystic yogis are in touch with Krishna, with Rama. The word Rama means the source of all pleasure. So because they are always in touch with the source of all pleasure, they are always in pleasure. Is this point clear? The devotee is always in touch with Krishna, always 24 hours. Or Rama is the same thing. So therefore he is always in transcendental pleasure. No question of any distress. That is transcendental happiness. But we must, now we are in a very, very low stage. We are struggling. So for us, at least we should come to the stage of poison in the beginning and nectar in the end. That means we must follow all the rules, regulations very, very strictly. We should not allow our senses to dictate us. You understand this point? Because senses will always tell us, eat this, do this, this is something good. You want to watch something nice. But you should not do that. Because you must understand, the moment you allow your senses to gratify, to be satisfied, will they be satisfied? No. They always want more and more and more. The example Krishna gives is, when you have fire, you put some ghee, what happens? The fire increases. Oh, you may think, oh, let me put little more ghee, the fire will subside. But what happens? You add little more ghee, what happens? More fire. More fire. So just like that, in this material world, the moment we try to gratify our senses a little bit, the senses will demand more. And more. And more. Cannot be satisfied. And you'll have so many kinds of sufferings, misery. The root cause of our misery is sense gratification. We want to enjoy in this material world separate from Krishna. So therefore, if you are intelligent, then you will think that this is of no use. You have to be convinced, because Prabhupada says, the moment you get a distaste from the material world, then your spiritual life can begin. Actual spiritual life begins when you are fed up with material pleasures, when you don't want to gratify your senses anymore. Because till the time you think this world is also a very nice place, I can enjoy here nicely, then you cannot perform true bhakti. Is this point clear? So we have to convince ourselves that in this world, sense gratification cannot make us happy. Look around. Look at the lives of great people who have so much money. Are they happy? No. They have so much suffering, so much misery. Look at the lives of great stars. Are they happy? Great heroines, heroes, actors, actresses. Are they happy? No. Miserable. They perform suicides. Why? What everybody is thinking to achieve, oh, I'll become very happy if I have many girlfriends. Or if I have a lot of money. But look at these people who have so much money, so many women. What is happening to them? They are committing suicide. They are so much miserable. They are going to psychiatrist. That means we cannot be happy by sense gratification. And we have seen in our own lives also. We can never be happy by sense gratification. And not only this life, we have tried this for many, many lives in the past. Puna puna sarvitam charvanana. Same thing, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. We have tried for so many lifetimes. But we are not satisfied. So how foolish it is to again try the same thing in this life and think that I can be happy. No, we can never be happy by these four things. We can never be happy if we just go on with our sense gratification. No. Some temporary happiness may be there, but it will ultimately result in suffering. So therefore Krishna is saying in these words that a wise man does not delight in sense gratification. He does not indulge in sense gratification, because he knows very clearly that whatever temporary happiness I am getting now, ultimately it will result in misery, suffering. Right? The more you try to enjoy in this world, the more you will suffer. That is how the world has been made. Understand this point? The more you try to enjoy, the more you will suffer. Therefore, a wise man does not try to enjoy in this world to sense it. He enjoys also, but he enjoys spiritual happiness. But we are in middle path, right? We are trying to come to the platform of sense gratification. We want to reject the platform of sense gratification and come to the platform of spiritual happiness, but we are in between. We are trying to go towards spiritual happiness. So therefore, now we must be very strict with ourselves. I know it's easy to say, but I also indulge in sense gratification. But we must try. We must try hard to give up sense gratification. And one more thing that we should do is, because see, Maya is very powerful. The material world is very powerful, right? So many allurements are there, especially in Kali Yuga. So we may try hard, but sometimes again we'll be captivated by sense gratification. Yes or no? What is the solution? What to do? Should we give up trying? Yes. We should read book. Yes, we'll get knowledge. But sometimes even after reading book also we do sense gratification. We are attracted by sense objects. What we should do then? Lifestyle change. But I want to do, but somehow I am attracted by the other lifestyle. What to do? Huh? Yeah, but I'm not able to follow. No? I want to follow, but somehow my mind is very attached to sense objects. I cannot give them up. I cannot follow the instructions of Guru. What to do? Very good. Take shelter of spiritual master. Yes. Yeah, but the thing is, I am saying spiritual master give me instruction that four relative principle, no meat eating, no illicit sex, but I am attached to all of them, so what can I do then? Huh? Very good. Prabhuji is giving a good answer. So Prabhuji is mentioning a very nice thing that we can immediately also feel happiness in spiritual life if we engage in kirtan and be in association of devotees. So then we'll get higher happiness, we'll get a higher taste. But sometimes even after getting the higher taste, still we are attached to sense gratification. Yeah, I reduce, but yeah, you're giving nice answer, Prabhuji. But what I was looking for is that by Krishna's mercy, but the mercy of Krishna and his devotees, that will give us strength to overpower Maya. Otherwise, Maya is very strong. Krishna is saying, Devi Esha Gunumai Mama Maya Durataya Mamai Vai Prapadante Maya Metam Tarantiti. On our own strength, it's very difficult. We have seen great people, great, they have fallen into Maya again. Vishwamitra, 10,000 years he was meditating, but Menka came and he was gone. Sauvari Muni, he was meditating under water. Yamuna, here, same Yamunaji. He was under water for thousands of years. But then he knew all this philosophy. He knew about higher happiness, Brahman happiness, that sense gratification leads to misery. But when he saw that scene of fishes mating, he could not control. Somehow he came outside water, he went to the king Mandhata and said, I want to marry your daughters. That means material world is very, very powerful. No matter how hard we try, there is always chance that we will fall in trap of Maya, fall in trap of material sense gratification. Therefore, what we should do is, first of all, try our best to follow all the rules and regulations strictly, number one. Be in association of devotees, number two. They will help us to follow rules and regulations. But number three, most importantly, is we should pray continuously to Krishna and spiritual master and all the devotees. Pray to Srila Prabhupada, pray to Krishna from our heart when we are chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We should pray to the Lord, O Krishna, O Radharani, Srila Prabhupada, our senior devotees, please help me. Should pray to Krishna, O Radharani, O Krishna, please help me to give up this mentality of, to give up attachment for sense gratification. I am so fallen, even after hearing so many classes, even after being in ISKCON for so many years, even after understanding the entire philosophy, even after experiencing some higher taste in Krishna consciousness, but still my mind is attached to sense gratification. Then the moment we pray to Krishna like that from our heart, then Krishna will give His mercy. And only His mercy can protect us from the influence of Maya. And we should pray to spiritual master, take advice from senior devotees. We can talk to them, to our senior Vaishnavas or our guides, that this is my problem, you know, that somehow I'm being attracted, I have this bad habit within me, or something, you know. And the moment we tell this to senior devotees, they'll give us a solution, they'll guide us. Because on our own, the thing is that we have to take help. Because we are very, very tiny. The living entity is very tiny. Maya is very strong. So living entity cannot fight against Maya. Prabhupada gives the story of sparrow. Right? One sparrow eggs were taken away by ocean. So sparrow was trying to, sparrow said, I will dry up the ocean. So he was taking the beak and taking out some water. But can a sparrow dry up the ocean? No. Then Garuda saw, and Garuda came and said, don't worry, I will dry up the ocean. Then when Garuda came, the ocean became afraid. Similarly, we are very, very tiny, just like a sparrow compared to the ocean of Maya. Yes, we can try, but we need help. We need help of Krishna, we need help of spiritual master, we need help of Vaishnavas. We should always be very, very humble, cry out for the mercy of Krishna, cry out for the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the most munificent form of Krishna, especially in Kali Yuga. Nityananda, Gauranga, we should pray to them intensely, Gaur Nithai, Krishna Balram, Radha Shyam Sundar, Srila Prabhupada, all the Vaishnavas, take their help, pray to Lord, that please protect me. Vishaya chadiya kabe shudaha bemana kabiyami heribo shri vrindavana आर कबे निताय चांदेर करुणा हुईबे संसार बसना मोर कबे तुच्छ हबे. We should pray, O Lord Nityananda, when will you bestow your mercy on me? Because if we get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, then what will happen is all our desires for sense gratification will go away from the heart. And once the desire for sense gratification is not there in the heart, then we can actually see what is Vrindavan. We can actually see Krishna. Right now we are not able to see Vrindavan. We are not able to see Krishna because we have the desire for sense gratification. But by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, when the desire of sense gratification will go away from our heart, then we can actually experience nectar of Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami says that bhakti and mukti, they are like two pisachini, like two witches. You know witches? The ghost, you can say lady ghost, they are called witches. Witch. What do you call? Witch, right? You know what is witch. So there are two witches in a heart. You know that? What are they? One witch is looking for material happiness, bhakti, material enjoyment. Another witch is looking for mukti, liberation. So both these witches, as long as they are present in our heart, how can we experience the bliss of bhakti? Bhakti cannot rise in our heart. So therefore, we have to remove these two, throw away these two witches from our heart. That means we have to remove the desire for sense gratification from our heart. And remove the desire for liberation also. This liberation is the liberation of becoming one with Krishna. Like some monies they think, you know, that is bad. So we have to get rid of that. Because, this is like, another example is, suppose you want to light fire, right? So, if you are putting matchstick and then throwing water from the other side, what will happen? Can you ever produce fire? No. So similarly, we want to advance in Krishna consciousness, we are chanting Hare Krishna, but at the same time, if you engage in sense gratification, it is like putting water. So, therefore, we are not able to make much progress. So this is my request to all of you, including myself, that let us take this instruction of Krishna very seriously. We must try to give up the sense gratification activities, engage ourselves in the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness, which is very blissful, chanting Hare Krishna and taking prasad. This itself is happiness, right? And along with that, we should always avoid the activities of sense edification, be in association of devotees, always constantly pray to Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada for their mercy to us. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions, any comments? Yes. Okay.
There is this simple narrative that the objective is to detach ourselves from this material world.
Hmm. Yes.
Now, being a student of science, what I realize that...
You want to use the mic? Because some people are in, they hear on FM. What is your name? Yeah, what is your name? Mohan, okay. Mohan, yeah. Good question. Please ask again on the mic.
Yeah, I've been reading for a few months now.
Mm-hmm. Is it on?
Yeah, it is. Am I audible now?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this narrative that we should detach ourselves from material world.
Yes.
For a moment it looks nice that yes, material world has like suffering, pain, sorrows, sadness and self-realization, the spiritual life is far and good and we should objectify that.
Hmm.
Now, I have studied science up to my undergraduation and this narrative that we should detach ourselves completely from material world,
mm-hmm.
it does not satisfy me.
Okay.
The reason is we are so focused on Krishna, right? We verbally define him, we verbally explain him, we explain him comprehensively in written form.
Mm-hmm.
We talk so much things about him, right? And so many good stuff. It's all good, but I think without the dependability on material world, I find it extremely hard to even explain, even define Krishna. If somebody asks me that you detach yourself completely from material world and then define Krishna, forget about all those spiritual philosophy. I would not be able to even define Krishna without the material world. I mean, either I will speak, for example, if you ask me who is Krishna, I will speak. And you will listen.
I got your point.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I answer now?
Okay.
Okay. Now, very nice question. What's your name again?
Mohan.
Very good question. So, as you have rightly said, that we cannot detach ourselves fully from the material world in the sense that as long as we're in this material world, we need to have connection with material world. But here what we're talking about is that we should not be attached to it. That means we can have connection with the world, but we should not be engrossed in the world. Like Krishna gives the example of lotus. Lotus is on the water, but water is not able to touch the lotus. You know this, right? Lotus leaf, it has a property that water does not, I mean water is on the surface but actually is not touching the lotus leaf. You know that? Being a student of science, you just do a search that somehow the leaf has such a property, lotus leaf, it never gets wet. Like you take out a lotus leaf from the water, it's always dry. All this on the water. So that means we are not supposed to be attached to this world. We should be connected to the world. We are in this world. We have to eat. I have to breathe air. But ultimately you have to understand this material world is created by whom? Krishna only. So material world is not bad. But our desire to enjoy in this world is bad. You understand this point? The problem is that I want to enjoy this material world for my own happiness. I want to exploit the resources of nature. That's what people are doing today. They want to maximum exploit mines and petroleum. For what? For sense gratification. For doing all sinful activities. Making all these weapons, killing so many people, exploding atom bombs in the ocean, killing so many living entities. So these are demonic activities which we should not do. Yes, we can live in harmony with this world as long as we are in this world. But you understand, this material world is not a permanent home, because this material world is a temporary place. We can see this body is temporary. Today or tomorrow I have to die. But as long as I'm in this body, I have to follow certain rules and regulations. So I cannot disconnect, but I should not be attached to this world. Is this point clear?
Should not be attached means you're talking about that we should detach.
See, detach, what do you understand? Detach means not separate. Detachment and separation is two different things. You are just, it's English thing, probably you're not able to understand the connotation of the word we are talking of. Talking of, when we talk of attachment, attachment means having affinity for the world. When you talk of, when we, in this context, we're talking about attachment for the world means having a strong affinity for the world, trying to enjoy in this world, always trying to be in this material world. That is what we're talking attachment. And opposite to that is detachment. That means, yes, I'm there in this world, but I'm not so much attached to it. I'm not so much into it. Like, I'm not so much bound by it. Or, you understand this point? Yes, exactly. That's the correct word. We should not be obsessed with this material
but
world.
But certain level of attachment is required.
It's not attachment, connection. Connection is a better word. Since we're in this material world, yes.
Because when
yeah, we are connected to this material world as long as we're in this material, correct.
When you speak about material world, everything is material.
Exactly, exactly. You are right.
You are right.
Yes, yes, yes. But we must understand, ultimately, this is also Krishna's energy. So this you have to understand, material world is not bad as such. But when I try to use the material world for my enjoyment, for exploitation, then it becomes bad. You gave perfect example this mic. Now this mic, somebody can also use this mic to entice people to kill each other. Or so this mic itself is not bad. Or music itself is not bad. But the way we are using it, that is that matters. Right? When we so therefore this world we should use in a way to serve Krishna. Just like a flower. Now this flower we offer to Krishna, but people they offer flower to their girlfriend. So that is wrong. That means you are using material resources for your own enjoyment. But when you offer flower to Krishna, that is very good. When people cut animals and eat, that is bad. When you respect all living entities, whatever bare minimum you need, you take some fruits, vegetables, offer it to Krishna and eat, there is no problem in that. So world is not bad, and as long as we are in this world, we have to be connected to the world. As you said, some attachment has to be there for the world, but that attachment should not be there for our own sense gratification. It should be for Krishna's pleasure.
Okay, so basically we should have attachment to the material world, but it should not become obsession.
Yes, but that motivation for attachment is that I want to serve Krishna with this material world, not serve myself. So that desire for sense gratification, that is what, you understand? Desire for material enjoyment is bad. Okay? Yes.
Can I ask one more question?
Okay.
As they say that whatever the sufferings, pain I have in this life, it is the bad karma of my previous life.
Exactly. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So far, so good. Okay.
Yes.
Suppose if I am in a court of law, right, and I am sentenced for a certain punishment.
Yes.
Judge announces my punishment that you are sentenced for 3 years, 4 years, or you will be executed, whatsoever, depending on my crime level. Right? But the judge also tells me my crime. Right? That this is your crime, and for this crime, this is your punishment.
Right.
So I am suffering in this life. I have pain in my life.
Right.
But they say that it's the bad karma of my previous life.
Yes.
That's a very vague and opaque statement. I mean, so, don't you think so? If I am suffering today, then I am entitled to know my bad karma of previous life. If God is kind to me, He should satisfy my quest. That yes, look, this is what you did in your previous life. That is why you have been punished for what this suffering is today. But I don't know. I don't remember the bad karma of my previous life. But I am punished for this in my present life without, you know, being told about the previous karma.
Okay, okay. See, the point is that when you are saying judge, there is a judge. The judge is Yamaraj, who is a representative of God. He judges all living entities based on their karma. And before we got this body, he told us the details of our what bad things we did. And he has given us that. That is why you will be given this body and you will suffer in this way. That has been told to us, but now we don't remember that, firstly. Secondly, that sometimes some things, even though we may not directly know the details, but the principle should be understood. The principle is very clear. In this world, now as you said, that I am suffering, or I have different condition. Like somebody may be born in a family of a beggar, but somebody is born in a family of Ambani. So unless you accept the past life, how can you justify why this particular person was born here and the other person born there? There has to be some reason. It's not random. So that living entity who was born in family of a slum dweller, obviously in his past life he didn't have such good karma. But the same boy who is born in the family of Ambani, he had some past karma from the previous life. So past karma theory you cannot negate, because why there is so much difference in this world? The same boy is born who is deaf and dumb. He has not done any wrong. That means God is cruel? No. There is something from the past life. So, and this is the foundation of Sanatan Dharma. See, again, it's a question of faith. Now, there are different processes. The Sanatan Dharma, based on Bhagavad Gita, this is the foundation. This is the foundation, as you see, in science you have some axioms. This is one of the axioms, that living entity, we are not this body, we are soul. We had many lives in the previous, earlier lives, we'll have future lives. Based on the previous life, we are suffering now. And this life is creating our next life. So this is the important thing. I cannot do anything about what I have already got. But my future is in my hand. What kind of life I want in my next birth? If I live like an animal, if I do sinful activities, I'll also become an animal. Cat, dog, or maybe in this world again a human being. But the intelligent person, he should think, no, enough of this cycle of birth, death, old age, disease. Let me put an end to all this. I'll serve Krishna and I'll go back to spiritual world for eternal life. That is intelligent person. Okay? Hare Krishna. Thank you. I'll discuss with you personally if you have more questions. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.